a few moments on something that is happening in every one of our lives, whether we realize it or not. Here are two facts that I'm going to give you. Let's read the scripture, and then I'll give you the two facts. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul is speaking through the Holy Spirit, and he gives us this instruction: be not conformed to this world. Now, there's a lot in that. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the world's styles, to the world's politics, to the world's music, to the world's addiction to sports, the whole spectrum. Be not conformed to this world, but rather be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, we just love you this morning. We thank you for your grace and your goodness and your mercy, how great you are, and how loving and how kind. Father, we'd ask you to bless the offering this morning, all of those that give here in the worship room and throughout the internet experience. God, we'd ask you to touch those lives, bless those families, open the very windows of heaven and pour out upon them, Lord, as you have declared in your word. And Father, I ask you that you would use me this morning to make a certain sound into the ears of your people. And I ask you for the Holy Spirit to minister, God, into the hearts of every hearer. Lord, here locally and abroad, God, every hearer might be touched by the Holy Spirit. We pray it in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. There are two facts that all of us need to be aware of. Number one, it is God's deep desire, his commitment to conform each and every one of us to the image of his dear son, Jesus Christ. Now, that's not just kind of like Jesus. He's going to make you like Jesus in every aspect. In all of the fruit of the Spirit, in every thought, you won't have to walk around with a bracelet on your arm saying, what would Jesus do? Because he's going to change it from what you do to what you are. That's a fact. God wants to conform you to the image of Jesus. Here's the other fact. Satan wants to conform you to the image of this world. Those are two facts. We look at the very opening pages of human history and we see God, in my mind, I see him get down on one knee perhaps and form the dirt, the clay, and form it into his own image. He made Adam in his own image. And he breathed into his nostrils the very breath of life from God. And Adam stood up, a living soul, and he was in the image of God. And immediately Satan came in and twisted and perverted that image into something else. This is a reality that has never stopped since those opening moments of history have never stopped. Satan wants to take you and he wants to twist you into something that God does not want you to be. Now, we came in already broke. How many can say amen? When we got here, we was already broke. But God, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, he's working to conform you to the image of his Son. And so he gives us this warning here. Be not conformed. Make sure that you're not allowing the world to conform you. Now, there's a thing called cultural transfer. When two cultures collide, there is a transfer of the values of one culture into the other and vice versa. Now, you and I, we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Nevertheless, there's this great temptation that to allow a transfer of the culture. And you see it by us looking like the world, cussing like the world, watching the things of the world, listening to the rap music of the world. And you have to admit, if you listen to the lyrics of this stuff, it is wicked, ungodly, hateful. I mean, it's anti-woman, anti-peace, anti-God, anti-family. It's anti. But yet we have a generation, not just the young generation, sometimes older ones that just have this thing in their mind and it twists them into something else. You are slowly being conformed. When those beats are rolling in your spirit rather than the worship music of God, you are being conformed to something that God does not want you to be. And no one can stop it except you. You are the authority. You're the one that says, hey, this is twisted. I got to go a different direction. You're the only one that can do that. So again, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Allow the Holy Spirit to change the way you think. To change what you think is cool. You know, a lot of people, they do what they think is cool, no matter that it's the wrong direction, because they perceive it as being cool. But the renewing of your mind, it makes Jesus be cool. It makes whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, those are the things that we are to embrace. Because just like Satan twisted the image of Adam from the image of God into the image of Satan himself, he desires to do that to every one of us in here. You're not so saved that you cannot be impacted by this. In the book of Matthew, we see John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is an example of someone who would not conform to the culture of his day. Now, John's father was a priest. That means that John was in the lineage to be a priest and would have been in the rotation to work in the temple. That was John's lineage and his right as being the son of a priest. But it says this in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Elijah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And this same John had raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Now there's three things here that shows he would not conform. Number one, he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He would not enter into the temple and preach there, and what he was preaching was totally different than what the priest in the temple and the synagogues were preaching. He was preaching concerning one that is coming that's mightier than I, whereas they were just going on with their learned theology, which most of it was wrong. So number one, he wasn't saying what they would say. He wasn't wearing what they would wear. They all had on their priestly robes. Their arrogance would just exude from them. But he wore just a leather girdle. He was like Elijah coming out of the wilderness. And then finally, he wouldn't eat what they ate. They had all their delicate foods that they would gorge themselves on, but he just ate wild locusts and honey. See, this is what it is to be separate. Now, I'm not saying you have to go wear a leather girdle. I'm not saying you have to eat locusts and wild honey. I'm saying that there is a difference between what the world does and what the child of God does. And we have to allow the Holy Spirit to convict every aspect of our life. Even the things you may say, well, I've always been doing this. That doesn't matter. That alone doesn't make it right. How many's ever been doing something, you might have done it for 5 or 10 or 20 years, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, now I want you to stop that. See, if he told us everything he wanted to fix all at one time, we'd get discouraged. So as we mature, he begins to deal with more and more things, because where we started and the destination of our conformity is such a vast difference that it takes time. It's by degrees that we get there. Now, John, again, he would not preach what they preached. He would not eat what they eat. He would not wear what they wore. But here's what Jesus said of him. Chapter 11, verse 11 of that same book. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there's not risen a greater than John the Baptist. That's heaven's perspective of this one who would not conform. Now, you read nothing else about John the Baptist in the Bible. I mean, he got his hair cut off just quick and in a hurry. They just ended him. But yet Jesus said he's greater than all of the disciples, all of the prophets of old, because he kept his separation from the world and the world system. See, one of the epistles says that if any man loves the world, now understand what that means. It means I love football. That stings a little, doesn't it? I love baseball. I love hockey. If any man loves the world, I love Six Flags. It's not a problem with going to these places. Excuse me. Take your children if you like, but don't fall in love with it. You know, if you watch a baseball game, that's not sin. But if you got to watch all of them, then that becomes a problem. So he said, if any man loves the world or the things that's in the world, it is because the love of the Father is not in him. Now we see an example of Christ's likeness. The disciples, of course, they did not start out much like Christ. Peter, they refer to Peter as the cussing fisherman. And he was very unsanctified when it all started out. I mean, Peter tried to commit cold-blooded murder right in the presence of Jesus Christ. He tried to cut the head of Malchus, the high servant of the high priest, tried to cut his head off. So he was not a picture of sanctification. Nevertheless, we find in the book of Acts that the very priest and the Sanhedrin called Peter after he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, called him on the carpet because of what he was preaching. In the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "And Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem." This was pretty much the Sanhedrin council. "And when they had set them down in the midst," this is speaking of Peter, "they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers and people and elders of Israel." Now that's a culture that he's speaking to the elders, the rulers, and the religious leadership of Israel. That's a culture. But it just said, but Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit, that's a different culture. "If we be this day examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of this corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among whereby we must be saved." Now, Paul's right there. If you remember Peter, when you just saw him before, he had a little maiden girl, made him say, "I don't even know Jesus. I never even met the man." He was just lying, calling down curses upon himself while he was lying. Then all of a sudden, filled with the Holy Spirit, there's this boldness in him. And the next verse says, "Now when they," the Sanhedrin and the religious leadership, "when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them. They had been with Jesus." Now, what is this saying? It means that they could see that they had the transfer of Jesus Christ culture had transferred on to them, and now they had a boldness that they never had before. It was not based on their education. It was not based on their scholarly wisdom, but it was based merely upon the fact they had been with Jesus. And here's what I'm saying today. When God's people spend time with Jesus, you begin to remove yourself from the culture of this world. You begin to take on the very character of Jesus Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Little by little. Little by little. I remember when I first got saved. I was a doper before I got saved. And I had never been to church, so I didn't know. I just simply didn't know what was right or what was wrong. I had no knowledge of it. And so I got saved, and I was, well, praise the Lord, I'm saved. That's wonderful. And I went home and kept smoking dope. And I didn't know. And of course, you don't tell somebody when you're smoking dope. You're smoking dope at home. God, the Holy Spirit himself taught me, there's no more. You have to stop this. And there's things in every Christian's life that the Holy Spirit will come in and begin to change things and stop things. That's him attempting to conform you to the image of his son. How many know Jesus don't smoke reefer? And so he pulls you away from that. And there's a lot of things that Jesus don't do that we do. And the Holy Spirit, little by little, he begins to pull you away from that. Don't resist him. Let him conform you into the image of his son. Because every person in here, you are being conformed to something. It's either the image of Christ or it's the image of Satan. You are being conformed. Now, even in the church, we have a problem. Many times we look at the world and say, well, I wouldn't do any of those things. But we have a problem in the church where many times the leadership, the pastors, they have a religious arrogance about them that is not Christ-like. And because the people watch that arrogance in them, they begin to emulate that themselves. And that's not what God wants. The pastor should be one of the most humble people in the church. He should be just everyday. Pastor is not just something that I do. Pastor is something that I am. But God's call on my life wasn't simply to make me a pastor. God's call on my life was to make me Christ-like. And Christ-like is the same no matter who it's in. It's very easy to become un-Christ-like and still achieve a title, a position within the church. You know, it's funny how we just grab for titles. We just want to be something. Just make me a deacon, an usher, make me the executive prophet, anything. I just need a title. And having been a pastor now for 30 years, it's not all that. I'd rather be a Christian than a pastor. I'd rather be Christ-like than any office that exists in the church. I want to be like him. That's my heart's desire. In the book of Acts chapter 22, we see, it's really somewhat of a sad story. It begins in verse 30, Acts 22 and 30. It says, on the morrow, because he, the chief captain, would have known the certainty whereof he, Paul, was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded, there it is again, the chief priest and all their council to appear and brought Paul down. So you're seeing the chief priest, this is the culture of the religion of that day. The whole culture is coming in and they're bringing Paul in, who is the anti-culture. He's the culture of Christ. And if you'll just drop to Acts 23, verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest, Ananias, commanded him that stood by him, to smite him on the mouth. Because he said this, I've lived in good conscience until this day. Ananias gave the man a nod, pow, slap him upside the head. Then Paul said to him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. Forsittest thou to judge me after the law and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, revilest thou the high priest, God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. Now that's a stinging accusation. So the man, the high priest commands, slap him upside the head, and he slapped him. And Paul said, you hypocrite, you're sitting in judgment against me of the law, and you command me to be stricken contrary to the law. And they said, Paul, brother, that's the high priest. Paul said, well, I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell by the way he acted, by the way he talked. I had no idea who was the high priest. Isn't that a sad commentary? The high priest is the highest office of religion of that day. He was the only man that could walk through the veil into the presence of God. And you couldn't even tell that there was no transfer of the culture. And that same thing can happen to you and I. See, Christ is something you have to embrace. You can't just live as a Christian, just say, well, here I am, Christ. Just rub yourself on me. No. You have to go embrace him, and you have to make sure you stay embraced with him. If you've ever noticed, if, a couple gets married, and over a period of time, they start using the same phrases. Have you noticed that? Or you can have a group of friends and you get tight with them, and all of a sudden, everybody starts thinking and sounding alike. That's the transfer. And we have to be very careful, because this is one of Satan's ace cards. He knows human nature, and he uses it effectively. And I'll just say this. Be careful of this political situation that's going on right now. It is made to create a rage in you that twists you outside of conformity to Christ into a political pundit. You have a vote, exercise it. That's it. And then how it comes out, that's the way it fell. And go on embracing Christ and becoming Christ-like. Because I can guarantee you, when Washington D.C. is burning in hell, you'll still, if you embrace Christ, you will still be living with him, and you'll still be walking in perfection. So don't let this world be a blanket on you that hinders you from embracing Christ. You might have liked the way the last election or this election or the next election, you may love the way it turned out. Honey, it's 4 years and you're going to have another one. Don't lose your soul over that. Amen. Finally, in Romans chapter 8, I'll share this one last passage. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It just speaks of God's commitment to conform you to Christ. And he is far more committed than you are. As committed as you may be, he's more committed than you are. It says, for whom he did foreknow. This means the foreknowledge of God before you were ever born, before your parents were born, before your great-great-grandparents were born. From the foundation of the earth, before he made Adam, his foreknowledge knew all those who would accept Jesus Christ and come to him through the blood of Christ. Whom he did foreknow, all those who would accept Christ, he did also predestinate, saying that they're going to come to Christ, and I'm saying their destiny is that they will be conformed to the image of his son. This is God's heart for you. And yes, the way it's got challenges. There are pitfalls. There are times we come close that we're just like, I just don't know. I'm just such a mess. Have you ever been there? Lord, I don't know what's wrong with me. Can you fix me? I've got issues. And there's other times that you can have great victories and you can walk on the mountaintop. But no matter which one you're experiencing, God is committed to conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. That's his heart for you today. Don't let the world throw you off. Don't let Satan use the world to conform you to something else. Make sure you keep your focus on what God is focused on, and that is your conformity to Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room this morning? Father, we love you and we thank you today. We thank you for your commitment, Lord, as messed up as we are sometimes. When we walk in our personal rebellions, when our emotions just rage, when we look at something that is not your image and we choose to focus on it rather than focusing on the fact that we ourselves are not in your image. Oh God, we ask you today that you would just help us. Don't give up on us, Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. Come on, would you stand to your feet with me this morning all over the room? You know where you're at in your walk. You know what the Lord is dealing with you about. And just begin to ask the Lord, Father, don't give up on me. Conform me, Lord, to your image. Help me as other things press my mind and press my spirit and the world vies for my attention. Help me, Lord, to stay focused on Christ. Help me to stay focused on the plan. Lord, I want to be like you. I want to stop being like me, and I want to be like you. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning, won't you? Just reach out.
Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name, Lord. Father, we thank you for conforming us into your Son, Jesus Christ. It's necessary. It's necessary that our hearts and our minds are transformed and conformed into what your word tells us, how you made us, who you made us to be in Christ. And Lord God, as Pastor Lincoln said, please do not give up on us. We plead of you not to give up on us, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There are times where even I myself, I know I'm messed up on the inside, you know. And we have to fall at the feet of Jesus. We have to fall at his feet and understand what's in us that has us going in a different direction than the direction he wants us to go. Just as Peter, you know, bitterly wept. He was shaken to his core as to what he had done, how he had denied Jesus. And he realized that what he did was sin. And it was the sin nature in him that caused him to do what he did. And he was extremely remorseful for what he had done. So when we realize what's in us that has us going in the direction that the world wants us to go in, when we realize what's in us and we can take that before the Lord, he continues to work on us. He continues to transform us into his word, his son, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't given already, we do need your support, and we do thank you for your support. We welcome those that have joined us online. We thank you for participating in our service, and we do have an 11 o'clock service if you would like to join us. If you need a Thanksgiving basket, please see Sister Boyd in the lobby. I don't see her in here, but she's in the lobby. She'll make herself known. If anyone or any family member that you know needs a Thanksgiving basket, please see Sister Boyd in the lobby. Amen. Since we're all standing, thank you for coming out to the 9 o'clock service. We love you. If you're going to stay for the 11 o'clock service, we'll see you then. God bless you, and you are dismissed.